runner's lead as Burnett deals. Swung on, a long drive to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It is a gun! It's a three-run home run for Benji Molina, and the Rangers take a 5-3 lead.
It's Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan, Sports Radio 66, WFAN New York.
Here we go!
Yo, 6:05, nice job, Eddie Scazzeri, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan. And, of course, worldwide on MSG in the Allstate Insurance Studios, you are now listening to the Boomer and Carton radio program. Number to join, as always, 877-337-6666. We got a lot to do today. Of course, 99.4% of it, kind of like Ivory Pure, will be about the Yankee debacle last night. And who do you blame and how frustrating it was that the New York Yankees once again can't beat the Texas Rangers. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
All right, well, listen, you know, I'm doing okay. I am just finally glad that America got to see what it's like going to a game with you. And
yes.
I wanted to tell you this morning because I didn't want to tell you last night. I must have received, I don't know, 100 texts and
right.
emails in regards to your little performance behind home plate last night.
Can we get to that later?
No, wait a minute,
because
I have to get this off my chest.
The Yankee debacle
is the
story.
I want America and I want New York to know that that's exactly what you see last night is how it is every time we go to a game.
Lots of fun.
It is. You are all over the place.
I'm beloved.
You're
Would you
eating,
say that?
Drinking,
yeah.
standing, you know, waffling, whatever you do. I mean, the mask, the whole thing. That is you. You're not. That was no act. That was nothing.
Yeah.
That was 100% pure Craigie out in public.
We will deal with that a little bit later on. All my antics during the game. I delivered everything
I
said I would deliver.
I got that off my chest.
All right. Listen. Number one. Let's give out the goat horns today. Got to be Joe Girardi, and it's got to be, of course, AJ Burnett. But beyond that, you know, we'll go through this throughout the day today. The Yankees had opportunity after opportunity to blow this game wide open with, leadoff doubles, two men on base, nobody out. The Andrus play it short, which got the out of third is a key play in the game, of course. But let's just go in my order. Your order may disagree. We've not talked about this yet. In the history of baseball playoff games, when was the last time a manager purposely put the go-ahead run on base and then allowed his struggling, enigmatic starter to pitch in that spot? Joe Girardi will have to take... Now, listen, I know he ain't playing. He ain't throwing pitches. He's not making plays. He's not batting. It wasn't his hamstring that popped on the way to first base. But Joe Girardi, and this is what's called being a manager in New York City, every decision he made backfired and in turn cost them again.
Yep, you're probably right, but I would look at it this way. I think the players deserve the credit.
100%.
I mean, you know, he's making decisions, and I understand that it's righty-lefty, and it probably drives, and listen, you and I aren't the Yankee fans that were sitting around us, and you can hear people complaining about it and all this other stuff, but all I can tell you is that when a coach makes a decision whether or not to go for it on fourth and one, whether or not miss a free throw or who you're going to select in your shootout at the end of the game. I mean, much like all those coaches, this manager here is making decisions that, unfortunately, I mean, every single one, it seemed like backfired on him. And to me, you know, you and I were talking about this last night, and I was telling you that, you remember when Granderson got up and he was trying to bunt, I think, Jeter over to
Jeter
third?
Jeter had the leadoff double, no outs. It was in that spot where Granderson tried to bunt and walked.
But you know, and basically, I'm thinking that the Texas Rangers are telling their pitcher, listen, throw it high. If he bunts it, we're going to see if he can get him to bunt it, to pop it up, get an out.
Right.
If he doesn't, the last thing we want to do is have Jeter standing on third here with A-Rod coming up and giving him a chance, to not get a run or whatever.
Well, the idea was the Yanks were playing a little small ball there.
Right.
They were playing for the sacrifice fly, and they wind up not scoring a run in that inning.
You know, Granderson gets the first. What happens? You got double play. Bang. You know, and, you know, those are the little things that happen in these games where, You know, the other team is executing their game plan better than you are. And I know I want to sit here this morning and you just want to go crazy over the decisions that Joe Girardi makes, and I understand that. But you know what? He gets paid to make the decisions. Most of the times those decisions work out. I mean, look at, you know, the season that they had. And right now, the batting order, the offense of this team is, you know, it's not a $200 million offense. It's not playing like it.
No.
And if, you know, whether it be A-Rod or Nick Swisher or Mark Teixeira, can't come up with that key hit. And how frustrated are we as Met fans, and how long have we said this as Met fans? For the last 3 years, we can't get that one guy that can come up with that key hit in the middle of the inning.
Right.
And when it's most important. And maybe if you give A.J. Burnett 3 or 4-run lead, which you should have given him, you know, now all of a sudden the game is different and it doesn't turn on one managerial decision and one pitch.
No, listen, you're right. There's a lot of goats in this. And listen, Mark Teixeira, it's terrible that he popped that hamstring on the way down to first base. But Mark Teixeira doesn't have a single hit in this ALCS. Now, you lose the threat of the long ball, but he literally does not have a single hit in the ALCS. And so many opportunities. You know, the one that you're talking about with Derek Holland did a great job for the Rangers last night. First and second, nobody out.
What?
Teixeira hits that ball. I mean, Andrus makes a great play. Teixeira winds up being safe at first. But you go from first and second, nobody out, to the A-Rod double play ball next. You don't get a single run out of that inning.
That's right.
So, listen, you can blame everybody. Now, that being said, as frustrating as it was last night, and I can only imagine what it's like to be a real Yankee fan, because I'd be pulling my hair out, you know, whatever is left.
If you had some.
Right. That felt like to me that it was Citi Field, Shea Stadium written all over it. I know that feeling very well.
Maybe because we were sitting there.
Maybe. Like, we were there. We brought the Met Maloik with us to Yankee Stadium last night.
I will say this, though. You got the people standing up around you, though.
Well, I made everyone stand up.
Oh, God.
These people don't like to stand up in that section.
It's like nonstop, man.
Right?
Up and down.
Everybody
I felt like I was doing, like, freaking calisthenics.
That's right. Everybody up. Let's go. And now people are like, we don't want to get up, Carton. Sit down. And go, no, 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 no. Right? Now, here's the weird thing.
All right.
I still think the Yanks are going to win today. I think this series is going back to Texas.
Well, why wouldn't you think that?
Now, there's really no reason to think that because the Yankee bullpen has been brutal. Like a lot of people say, and this is the prevailing wisdom, on the decision Joe Girardi made with A.J. Burnett walking to get to Molina and then the first pitch home run, right? The idea is that you walk Murphy there. Molina's 1-for-19 against Burnett. Bang, that's the one. That's the guy you'd rather pitch to, okay?
He's playing at percentages.
The other side of that argument is you never put the go-ahead run on base. Okay, that's a baseball cliche or fact, right?
And if Murphy gets a hit, what's the worst that could happen?
Worst that happens is Murphy gets a hit, it's first and third.
Right.
All right? Maybe a run scores.
Maybe a run could score.
It could be one run in, tie ball game.
And then you're pitching to Molina.
And then you're pitching to Molina anyway, right?
Right.
The other side of that argument is this, because this is how it played out last night. You've got Jabba Chamberlain warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Jabba pitches to Murphy. Now, you could make that point at the time, but Jabba did get in the game soon after.
And what happened?
He wasn't any good.
I'm right.
So, damned if you don't.
What are the alternatives there, right?
There's no one else warming up there.
After the home run to Molina, the next batter pop up to A-Rod.
Right. You want to go lefty, lefty, righty, righty, lifty, doopy, doopy, doopy? That's all well and good. The reality is, Jabba came in and stunk the joint up. The other thing you could talk about, Girardi, was Robertson doing a bad job?
No, he wasn't.
Bang, bang.
Right.
All of a sudden, we overmanage sometimes. Now, as bad as last night was, and God knows if Josh Hamilton flicks his wrist and it's one more freaking home run to
right. It was amazing. His first home run last night, and we were both sitting there, and as soon as the ball goes up, you know, we're like, can of corn, and the next thing you know, it's in the right field seats.
Like five rows, too.
I mean, he barely swung at that.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's the romantic in me. I don't know. Clearly, I've been beaten down enough times in my life as a Met fan and a Jet fan not to feel this way. I think Sabathia pitches a gem today. I think the Yanks get the win today. And I think it goes back to Texas for Phil Hughes. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could clearly be proven wrong. The Yanks could go meekly into the late afternoon sky.
They're the Yankees.
And we could be done.
They're the Yankees. You can't go meekly.
They could go meekly. You just don't know.
You can't.
You like to think they can't, but who the hell knows at this point, right?
Well, you know, listen, it's still nobody's ever won a series by winning three games. That's all you can tell
yourself.
Unless
it's a best of five.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm talking about
at
the
that point,
LCS.
You'd win,
I mean,
because there's no more games
seven
left.
You need in this ALS.
You do need to win four,
that's
right?
That's what I'm talking about. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
10 other times, by the way, teams have come back from down 3-1 and won three consecutive games.
It happens.
You're not, I mean, listen, the Texas Rangers went to Tampa. They went bang, bang, up 2-0. They went back home to close it out. What happened?
They lost two in a row.
So it ain't like, I mean, you know, you're not climbing Mount Everest here, but it was frustrating. It was maddening. And I got to be honest, I know the feeling well. If I closed my eyes, I was in Shea Stadium for a long time. Mm. You know? That being said, you and I were rock stars last night.
What do you mean by that?
Absolute rock stars.
Listen, I was just kind of doing my thing.
We
just
did what we said we would
game.
Do last night.
I didn't do anything.
No, yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You threw three bags of peanuts at me. I didn't catch
you,
a single bag.
And you dropped every single one of them.
I was under a lot of pressure. Cameras on me, the lights. That's 54,000 people chanting my name.
Right.
You know, on the Jumbotron, they went Michael Jordan, Bernie Williams, me.
Right, they did.
Did they not?
They did.
Just saying. Then I was getting requests from people watching the game.
Yeah.
To the Hulk Hogan. Well, I tried to deliver all requests, but it was hard to.
I think for
so
the
many.
Most part, when you put the mask on, it's about when I lost it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know you had the mask with you.
I had the mask with me.
And then you pulled
me.
The mask out, and
yep. I
but
said
you know
I would
what?
Do it.
It was the rally mask because the Yankees ended up scoring runs.
They scored a run there. That's exactly right. I put on the mask in the bottom of the fourth. Bang, the Yankees get a run. Right?
Right.
So I did my part.
You know, the other thing, too, in regards to Teixeira's injury and everything.
Yeah.
And I've always subscribed to this way of thinking. I think most coaches and players should think the same way. I don't know how the fans think about this because sometimes it could be like, you know, the sky is falling. It's the chicken little syndrome.
Right.
You know, players are always bitching and complaining about playing time, who's playing, who's not playing, who's not getting a chance, and all this other stuff. Well, when a guy like Teixeira gets injured, you know, there are players that are going to have an opportunity now to step up.
That's right. Swisher went to first. Timms comes in.
I mean,
they'll probably catch Cervelli and DH Posada.
Right. I mean, guys are going to have opportunities now. Like I always say this, you know, an injury is an opportunity for someone somewhere.
Right. And listen, Teixeira hasn't had a single hit in the ALCS. No great loss, by the way, losing Teixeira for the rest of the way.
Defensively, dude.
Defensively, fine. Great loss offensively. The guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
The first time there's an error at first base, you know, whether it be a scoop out of the dirt like he had last night or a great pick on a hard-hit ground ball.
Right.
Then you'll be saying, oh my God, where's Mark Teixeira?
Well, let's get some calls.
You know, to baseball, Craigie, there's offense and there's defense.
Here's Jimmy and Islip, New York on the fan. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you, baby?
Pretty good, guys. How you doing this morning?
Jimmy, what's happening, brother?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I was a little disappointed to hear on the show before that a lot of people are not supporting the New York teams. I mean, I know that they're not hitting well. Cano's been really supporting them hit-wise for
right.
most of the year.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, these are the New York teams that are...
Dude, it's not that people aren't supporting the Yankees. It's a level of frustration. Obviously, New York Yankee fans want the Yankees to win, but when they lose the game the way they did...
Yeah, anti-Yankee fans that are so hate-focused, you know, that... You know, hey, this is New York. We live here.
Take yeah, big guy, listen. Boomer and I are not in the majority when we started Mets fans for Yankees.
I mean,
you have to understand that we're going against the grain there. We broke the mold on that one, baby.
We did.
We got more hate mail on Mets fans for Yankees than anything we've ever done. My buddy Chris Baldotti called me this morning at 5 o'clock. He goes, listen, I'm sick of it. I'm starting a new church. I go, all right, what's the church? He goes, Mets fans that hate Mets fans for Yankees.
Yeah, we understand. But people don't understand, though. You know, we're doing it for the children.
Well, not only that, Boomer.
You got to get your bracelets. If today's you know, the potential last home game for the Yankees, you got to get your bracelets.
You have to remember this also, Boomer.
Yes.
All great men in history, I mean the greats.
Like Alexander the Great?
Have gone against...
The grain.
The grain.
Okay.
It's what sets you apart from everybody else.
Give me an example.
Lewis and Clark, great men. There's nothing out west. You're wasting your time.
And then Sacagawea took them all the way.
Sacagawea.
Showed them the way.
Columbus, the world is flat. You're going to fall off the end. I think not, my friend.
Right. I'm going to find the new world.
You understand what I'm saying to
yes.
you? We are great men.
Okay.
Alexander Graham Bell. You're not going to talk to somebody across the street in that contraption.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
I understand what you're saying, baby.
Remember this, Boomer. In 1937, the United States of America had a guy who was in charge of all patents for the country.
Right.
That guy said in 1937, there is no need to keep this office open Everything that could ever be invented has already been invented.
How do you like me now?
Exactly right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Great men.
Great
men. We swim upstream like the salmon in Alaska.
Are we spawning?
Let's just hope we don't get in a net and wind up on Al Duke's dinner table at a steakhouse in a month.
But when you're swimming upstream, aren't you spawning?
Oh, we're spawning, baby.
We're spawning, huh?
Parallel, not, you know, together. Although I think the salmon go both ways. Pretty sure about that.
We're a bunch of spawners.
Yeah, I don't think the salmon are,
you spawning salmon.
Are riding bareback anytime soon. I think the salmon got their own thing going on.
You think
I don't, I think it's all internal anyway. I think the salmon reproduce without a mate. I think that's how the fish do it.
Well, the fish, they lay eggs, and then you come over and pick it up, and bang, next thing you know, you got little fishes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Little fishies, right?
Yeah, little spawning fishes.
Yeah.
Little baby fishes.
But,
it's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Oh, I know.
I'd like to say, you and I are sitting
there. Dude, you and I left. We're in the car, and the bases were loaded.
I didn't want to leave. You made me leave. I'm just for the record.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying for the record, just in case people notice our seats empty after the seventh.
Why are you throwing me under the bus
like
that?
My man Boom was
listen. Why are you doing that?
It's a Ranger playoff game. We're out of here early.
Dude, I thought we were,
Huh?
You know what?
All right, I'm not going to lie.
What you just did right there is wrong.
I broke man code?
You've never done that. In the 3 years that we've worked here, you've never done that. Now, all of a sudden, you do that because you get a little national FaceTime. And now you're going to dump it on me.
Let me tell you something. 3-2, the Yankees want to give me that seat for the rest of the playoffs.
You got more FaceTime than Burnett did last night.
Damn right. And I did a better job, too. I outperformed A.J. Burnett last night as well. Did I not? By the way.
Oh, what now?
Now, a lot of times guys will be in a situation and they'll think a lot more of themselves than really is an accurate representation of how they should feel. Right?
What?
Like, you'll be at a bar, you're like, oh, the hottest girl in the bar, she wants me. No, you're out of your mind.
She doesn't want you.
That being said, and I think you'll vouch for me on this, one of the most famous women in America.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly wants a little Craigie time.
Oh, boy.
And Boomer saw this in action, by the way.
You're not refuting it.
Martha Stewart wants to bang me. She couldn't get her eyes off me last night, Jerry.
Oh, boy.
And I gave her the look back.
I
gave her a little look-see. A little look-see.
I thought, what's his name, Andy Sandberg?
Andy Sandberg from Saturday Night Live.
I thought you were going to make him cry last night.
Yeah.
Because he got there, the game had already started.
That's right.
And then, of course, they showed up and they had to walk in front of all of us as the game's going on. And Craig is screaming at him. And I'm like, hey, Craig, you can't do it. The kid is, he looks like a little
First of all, he's 4'3". Lupus is bigger than he is. Number two, you showed up late.
Right.
Right? Someone's going to say something. Sandberg!
He yelled that loud, and Sandberg was literally 6 inches away from him. I'm like, don't stop.
And I was reading Lorne Michaels' text all night. It was great. He stood in front of me. I was reading everything he wrote on his phone. I know everything going on in SNL now.
Right.
I know. Oh, and then I looked around and I go, Boomer, it's Fat Albert. What's that kid on SNL? I think he played Fat Albert.
Right.
That was great, man. Boy, I belong in that section now, the way I see it.
I have to tell you, he was heckling.
Sounds like you guys really had a miserable night.
Martha Stewart was making Google eyes at me the entire, Jerry, it was uncomfortable to the point I go, Boomer, you tell me if I'm mistaking what's going on here. I go, look over to your right. He goes, Martha Stewart. I go, yes, she looks like a corpse. I understand this. I go, but is she making the eyes at me? He goes, matter of fact, I think she is.
She wasn't making eyes at you.
I could have had a threesome with Martha Stewart last night.
No.
I'm putting it out
there. I don't know what she was looking at, but it certainly it wasn't you or I. I can tell you that right now.
No. It was me.
I think she was like looking at, it could have been Lorne Michaels. I thought, I should have even thought about that.
It was me. Jerry Reckless here with an update, then back to the debacle from Yankee Stadium last night.
Did your eyes ever meet her eyes?
Yes.
I mean, she was literally, two sections over?
Yeah.
And she was in the row in front of you, by the way.
Ball guy stands out. What do you want me to tell you?
You did stand out last night, I will say that.
Yeah. I delivered to the audience what I said I would. I'm a man of my word.
The best one of the night, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the strikeout was fine, but but when the opposing pitcher had like an 0-2 count.
And right. I did the Zuggy Zugats, like I said I would. I gave it to you.
I'm the only one standing up in this section.
You know what I was thinking of? I don't know if you guys remember this. There was a guy in the garden. His name was Dancing Harry.
No, I don't know.
He used to have the multicolored afro and everything.
Yeah.
And Dancing Harry used to try to give the Zuggy Zugats signal to the guy on the line.
What do you want me to do?
Shooting the free throw.
But you're right. I'm the only guy standing up in the whole section.
No. The guys next to you were standing
up. Not in the first inning. In the first inning, there was one guy standing up, and then the three guys to your left joined you.
Dude next to me was on his phone all night anyway.
Shocking.
What do you got, Jerry?
Sponsored by Weil McLean, your high-efficiency heating specialist. For 5 2/3, A.J. Burnett was not bad, but the path to out number 18 took a detour down the line and left.
Runners lead as Burnett deals, swung on a long drive to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It is a gun! It's a 3-run home run for Benji Molina. And the Rangers take a 5-3 lead.
You can hear Susan pounding the table. Yeah. Very unhappy there. Or John, one of the whatever.
I shouldn't start crying when Teixeira went down. You know him, John. I know Mark, too. It's a good man that just went down there, John. It's a good man. He's got to be lost for the year, John. Of course, he hasn't had a hit in the ALCS.
0 for 14.
What are you losing there? A big fat goose egg.
John Sterling, WCBS. Rangers went on to beat the Yankees 10-3. Burnett the loss, and after the game, he was fixed on that Molina at bat.
One pitch, man. That's what it comes down to.
And the home run hit right after Joe Girardi opted to put David Murphy on base with an intentional walk. Molina, 3 home runs against the Yanks in the 0-5 ALDS. All he struck again. Was Burnett bothered by the decision?
No, it didn't bother me. It's bottom line, it's a Skip's decision, you know. And if I make that pitch to Molina, you don't have to ask that question.
Girardi defends his decision.
We liked the matchup, AJ, against Molina. We did. And unfortunately, it didn't work out.
As for the offense, well, that didn't work out either. The Yankees 2 for 13 with runners in scoring position in the series, 3 for 33.
We just haven't been able to get that big hit.
Yeah.
Not only that, I mean, the Rangers get 2 runs. It was in the third inning without a single ball getting passed out of the infield. You had the walk, the wild pitch, the sacrifice bunt for second and third, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, I'm not going to kill Burnett on the one because the dribbler that went past the mound to A-Rod, no one's got to play on that.
No.
What is like you'll give up
he
a line drive.
He double clutched, but I still don't think he was going to get him.
Yeah, but you gave up 2 runs. Not a single ball went past the infield. It's almost impossible.
Not last night. Yankees now down 3-1. Derek Jeter says can't get them all back at once.
We had to come tomorrow and we have to win a game. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But the Rangers will have other ideas. Josh Hamilton, who did hit a pair of late home runs, says we have nothing to lose.
I mean, we've never been here before. What do we know?
Manager Ron Washington says his team will remain focused on the task at hand. They will not be looking ahead.
We're not thinking about how we're going to close anyone out. We're going to go out there and play baseball.
And Yankees will play the rest of the way, whether it's just 1, 2, or 10 more games this postseason, without Mark Teixeira, who indeed suffered a hamstring injury.
I didn't hear it pop, but I definitely felt it. I knew right away it wasn't good.
So the Yankees replaced him on the roster.
We're all yelling, why are you sliding into first?
I know.
We're behind him. You know, we didn't see the grimace and him go for
it. I know what happened.
No, you didn't. No, at the moment you didn't.
I knew that he pulled his hamstring.
Maybe right after, but at the time I'm why are you sliding the first?
I saw him grab it.
Yeah? All right.
I told the folks right in front of me, that's a pulled hamstring right there.
Boomer was doing like analysis of the game. I have to say, Boomer knows his baseball.
He was a star high school player.
Yeah. Cardi Strumsky Award winner.
I'm saying, good for you.
Eduardo Nunez replaces Teixeira on the roster. Game 5 today at 4, Sabathia and Wilson. The NLCS now in favor of the Giants. Blank the Phillies 3-0. Matt Cain, Javi Lopez, and Brian Wilson combined on the shutout. Charlie Manuel trying to explain the way baseball works to his all-of-a-sudden challenged offense.
When a game starts, that's when you're supposed to hit. Oh. If you don't hit, I mean, that's kind of... You're kind of on your own when you leave a dugout.
Game 4 tonight, Madison Bumgarner and Joe Blanton. Mets and Frankie Rodriguez settle their grievance. He will not be paid the $3 million they withheld at the end of the year.
By the way, isn't that interesting, just real quick? The Yankees chose not to go Sabathia 147, right?
Right.
And the Phillies, in a similar spot, are not going Halladay 147.
Yep.
So with that series on the line, they're going Joe Blanton,
Yeah.
With the series on the line.
I agree.
All right.
And I would have went Sabathia last night.
The 100%
Cubs,
I would have.
The Cubs make Mike Quadi their manager, but notable, as you mentioned, because of the rumors about Joe Girardi. Preseason basketball, Knicks over the Nets, 117-111. More important, though, reports say the Knicks are back in the mix in terms of Carmelo Anthony. Denver now possibly thinking about negotiating with them. The NFL fines three players for vicious hits that caused concussions this past Sunday. James Harrison, $75,000. Brandon Merriweather and Dante Robinson were each hit with $50,000. The outspoken Giant safety, Antrell Roll, and the league possibly handing out suspensions for such hits.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely ridiculous because under any circumstances, can you just absolutely have control of your body when you're in pursuit of tackle?
Roll Bennett with Benigno and Roberts on the
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, James Harrison, as we had Ray Anderson, VP of Operations for the NFL on yesterday, announcing – it's not a new rule. They're just going to enforce it, and the enforcements are going to be so much more severe than what they've been. Now, James Harrison, you know, yesterday told you exactly what his excuse would be, that when he went to go hit Massaquai, Massaquai was upright. And then when Massaquai saw him coming, he bent down, and that's when it became a helmet-to-helmet situation. And that's always going to be the argument from the defensive standpoint. I know what the NFL does not want. They just don't want a dead player on the field.
Right.
And I'm telling you, those three hits yesterday or on Sunday could have led to a dead player on the field.
Or a paralyzed player.
Right, and they don't want either one of them, obviously, because, you know, as we saw Eric LeGrand from Rutgers laying on the field against Army on Saturday, that is like the last image that you want if you're running a league right now.
And Green Bay linebacker Nick Barnett tweeted, quote, "No big hits. What sport are we playing now?"
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
And I'm going to close it out with this. Look who's on the cover of Russia's Maxim.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Where is the mad dog? Is it, it's got to be one of them spies, right?
You bet.
Anna Chapman.
You got it. That New York City party babe. Oh,
she gets less hot the more I see her.
Oh, are you kidding me? You are so wrong.
She's a hot box of rocks.
She is a hot box of rocks.
You got to look at the pictures.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, go to the.
There's something off with her.
Go to the post. Do you have the post there, Boom?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yeah.
Go to page three of the post.
Face.
Okay. No. This is the
real page three. Or
this is the rear shot. Craig. Check that one out.
Yeah, but there's something wrong with her grill.
What do
Sorry.
You mean?
Oh my
She's
gosh.
A great. Listen, a great physique, but when I first saw her, I was totally enamored with her and wanted to order a Russian bride,
right.
And become a Mormon.
And move a to Russian Utah. Bride and become a Mormon.
And move to Utah and have sister wives. I was thinking about that as a possibility for my life.
Is that what you do?
That's just for me, my sensibility.
People are doing that?
Oh, yeah. It's all the rage, dude.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Of course, having one wife is so much fun. Who wants five?
There you go.
Who wouldn't want five?
Right. Oh, I said that wrong. Right.
Right.
I mean, a different woman every night, right? Of course, at my age, let's be honest, I couldn't handle that. But, the more I look at her, the less I like her. Great body. I'm starting to think she's a bit of a butter girl.
No way.
All right, listen. To each their own, right?
Is she a Russian hero? Did they give her some sort of medal or something?
Well, they put her on the cover of Maxim, yeah.
Right.
By the way, let's go through real quick. Al Dukes, you're watching at home in the Ridge. Lance Berkman shot right. When Boom and I saw it, we both said the same thing. 5 feet foul. I can't believe they gave him a home run. What'd you say?
Well, when they did the close-up replay, when they really did the close-up and put an extra light on the ball,
right?
I think it grazed the foul pole.
Now, Lance Berkman said afterwards that he went into the tunnel. He watched it 50 times. He goes, I'll swear on everything holy, that ball grazed the foul pole, which means it should have been a home run. Eddie, did you even watch the game?
No, sir.
All right. What did you think, Booms?
I was sitting right next to you. I couldn't tell.
No, we thought it was foul at the time.
Yeah, we thought it was foul, but I couldn't tell if it hit the foul pole or not.
Now you've seen the replays of it. What do you think now? Do you think it hit? I don't think it hit because the trajectory of the ball would have changed if it hit the foul pole, and I don't think the trajectory ever changed. Do you, Booms?
No.
That right? It wasn't as foul as you and I thought it was at the time. But I don't think it hit the pole.
You know what they're showing on MSG right now? I can't. It doesn't look like it grazed the foul pole.
Right. That was a good call, foul ball. But then I'm saying in the seats where we were sitting, how is it that Boom and I sitting behind the plate can see that it's a foul ball and a guy that's 10 feet away goes home run?
Right. And then they also had that same umpire had the issue out there with the home run with Robbie Cano.
Right.
As to whether or not there was fan interference there.
Right. Again, from our perspective, you couldn't tell, but we both got 50 text messages from people watching on TV saying fan interference for sure. But they said the ball was clearly, it wasn't Mayer, where Jeffrey Mayer reached 5 feet over the wall, right?
Right.
And brought the ball out with him. that ball was going to go over the wall for sure.
Right.
But they did hit his glove. I will say that. Was it Cruz? His glove got hit by the fan 100%. So you could have, I guess you could have gone either way with that. Now, I'm going to ask a question all you purists going to yell at me for, right?
All right.
If fan interference, what are you going to do over on that? What do? Is that an out? Do over? Ground rule double? What's the call on that, just out of curiosity?
That's a good question.
I'm not the only one. I'm thinking about that, and I go, I know I should know the answer to this, and I know 50 people are going to call. What do you not know the answer to that?
Daddy-o.
Right? If they decide fan interference, do we get the old-fashioned do-over or not? You looking it up there, Booms? Mm-hmm. All right, you let me know when you get an answer. Al, you have an idea?
No, but Smoltz last night said, let's just give him a double, make everybody happy.
Is that what he said? Yeah. Smoltz has done a good job.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Now, I don't know if you caught this. Martha Stewart, who again was making goo-goo eyes at me all night, as Boomer can attest to, reacted to the Molina home run. Sounded like this. That's my girl right there, though.
Yeah, that's your girl.
I was hobnobbing with the celebrities.
I'm so surprised you didn't go over and get some, like, housewarming tips for the holidays.
My wife is a fantastic designer.
Right.
She don't need no help.
Right. Maybe she watches her television
she
show.
She does, you know, not.
Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
I know. My wife's already prepping all that stuff.
Did she go out and get pumpkins for Halloween?
I do that. I'm the pumpkin guy.
Do you have the pumpkins? Or
no, you never buy the pumpkin until the week before.
Really?
Because they rot.
They rot, huh?
Yeah, so I got a pumpkin guy.
You got a pumpkin
guy?
Oh,
yeah, I got a pumpkin guy. Hmm. That's right.
Do I do scarecrows and stuff?
You know what? Not so much.
Like with straw and hay? You get hay and all that stuff?
I don't do all that
crap. See, Martha would tell you to go get hay and all that kind of stuff.
We get 5 pumpkins.
Right.
Kim does not carve the pumpkin, but she loves the pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
Me and the kids will do it on a Saturday, this Saturday or Sunday. I don't know which day yet.
Right.
We'll go nuts on the pumpkins.
Okay.
We'll design them. We'll cut them, daddy, the whole bit.
All right.
Put them out in front, little candle,
the whole thing.
Bingo.
Good to
but
go.
Pumpkin etiquette, it's fugazi. Pumpkins October 4th, stupid.
Well.
They rot. And another little tip, never grab a pumpkin by the stem.
I have no pumpkins good. Now.
You embarrass yourself.
What do you mean? I don't embarrass myself.
You just put them out there. You didn't carve it, I bet.
No, I don't carve.
Right, so
I'm not a pumpkin carver.
Now that your kids are out of the house, you know, and Halloween is on a Sunday. You're going to be home with the candy? You good
work.
To go?
I got to work.
So, well, you're going to have the lights out?
I got the NFL today.
So are you?
What am I supposed to do? I can't be like virtual
no candy?
Boomer. Well, I don't know. There'll be something there.
No,
I
you got to put a basket out with the note. Please take one, knowing that the first kid that gets is going to take the whole bag.
Somebody else can handle it.
No. This is not acceptable.
What do you mean?
You're a great American.
Well, people know that I'm working.
You put some candy out for Halloween is what you're going to do.
You can't trust those people in Manhasset. They'll come over there and they'll rip
all
that. So
you're saying the
Assize
House will be black?
No,
lights on Halloween?
No.
You better have some candy out there.
There'll be candy.
I'll get a report.
I'm sure you will. But I'm not leaving candy out for those animals over there in Manhasset.
You put out the candy. You got to put out a basket.
I understand. You leave candy out and then all of a sudden word spreads and you got a party in your front yard and the next thing you know your house is burned down.
No. A basket of candy. Please take one. First kid that comes, dumps it, you're straight. Yes,
or you
Eddie.
Can have Lupus just stand outside your house and give out.
True.
You know, he doesn't even have to go in the house. Just have him be outside.
I like
to
dress him up as a short little scarecrow.
Exactly.
Very true. Yeah, very true.
With his arms like this. Oh.
A, you have no crows on your yard. B, one piece of candy per kid.
Right.
It could be like an Oompa Loompa. You know?
Yeah, it'd be good.
I got my Halloween costumes. I'm ready to roll.
Are you going to the ReFi Rock Halloween party with us?
I
with
think
Paul
Kim and
E.D.
I think we're stopping by.
Yeah, you got to stop by.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think Kim's going to come.
You
got to
come on. Let's go. Bring it
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I think she's going as Snooki for Halloween anyway.
Is she really?
I think so, yeah. So that'd be pretty hot.
I know she's got
the boobs. I know.
Well, you know, I'm not
going to
say
it.
That.
She's my wife.
Yes.
I mean, she has these luscious breasts, my wife. God bless her, too. You know what I'm saying? She only gets better looking. I don't know how that works, but I don't. She does.
Resticles.
That's right, baby.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
We continue with the Yankee chat today, but we do with a beautiful young woman from Yonkers, New York, my own stomping grounds. I, of course, used to work at the raceway there. And I used to go to the Red Robin right on the way to North Broadway there.
Oh,
that's
please.
How I roll.
It's an Applebee's now.
Is it an Applebee's? You know what I'm talking about, though. So this is Hot Danny. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing great.
Danny's all tattooed up. You got the piercings. I don't mind it, though. You're looking good, baby.
Oh, wow, look at that tattoo, man.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Danny,
wow.
How old are you, babe?
23.
And you're a New Yorker through and through, yes?
Yep, mm-hmm.
And you love the Yankees?
Love the Yankees.
So what'd you think about last night's game?
I cried a little bit.
You did? Yeah. Did you notice, anything cool happening behind the plate?
I heard you guys were there.
Yeah, we were there, all right.
I didn't get to watch the whole game. I was in class, but I heard on the radio, they're like, it's the Boomer Carton show right now.
There you
now.
Go.
Right, right,
so
exactly,
listen, darling,
yes.
This is how this, by the way, I need a contestant. If you want to go head-to-head with Danny, call right now, 866-540-WFAN. The winner gets a Boomer Esiason Fathead for your wall, your ceiling, garbage, garage, rather.
Yeah,
anywhere you want.
Yeah, thanks,
you want to
I appreciate it.
866-540-WFAN. Yankee questions only, okay?
Okay.
Now, talk right into the microphone.
All right.
How well do you know the Yankees?
I would say pretty well, better than most girls. I don't want to say better than everybody, but
right.
I'll say.
But you think you can hold your own against an average guy because, and maybe you'll be on my team, which would be nice for once. I have not won in months.
No, and you're not going to win today either.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who would you like to play with, me or Boomer?
I would say Boomer.
There we go. Nice.
I haven't won in months.
Is it something about me, Boomer?
I just think that they're physically closer to me, and they don't want to be insulting to me, so they just say, I'll take you. Right.
There's a bond there. Now, you're 23 years old. You're married.
Right.
I just met your husband. Seems like a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm. He loves Yankees, too.
He loves another Yankee fan. So
that's probably the only thing we have in common.
So you must be miserable today after last night's loss, right?
Yeah. Well, we're getting through it together.
Do you have any faith at all that the Yankees, starting with tonight, win game five tonight? Or this afternoon, I should say.
Game five, yes, but the series, I don't know.
You've given up. Look at you.
You always have to have faith. I'm being realistic right now.
But you've given up.
Game five, I'd say we can win, but, mm-hmm. I cross my fingers. You always have to have faith, but
Does it hurt to get a tattoo like that?
Oh, uh-huh. It's got to hurt a lot.
Fascinated by that.
Yeah.
What's with all the tattoos?
I like them a lot.
You like tattoos? Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. All right. Your husband have tattoos? He does not see
not
like
a
it.
Single
no.
one.
He doesn't have
not
one
a single
tattoo.
One. I'm trying to twist his arm.
Well, here's the deal. You're going to be going against Jimmy in Connecticut. All right. Jimmy, how you doing there, buddy? Jimmy, are you there, kiddo?
Nope.
I lost Jimmy?
Yep.
All right. Let me go to Jeff in Hicksville real
Line
quick.
Four.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing there, kiddo?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Jeff, hold on. It's going to be me and you against Danny and Boomer, little Yankee questions, okay?
All right,
hold on one sec, Jeff. All right, here's the deal. You have 60 seconds against the clock. If you don't know an answer, say pass.
Okay.
You can go back to that question.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, you can't go back. Fair enough?
Okay.
You get more questions right than me and Jeff, you win the Boomer Esiason Fathead, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Are you ready to go?
I am.
Here's
okay,
Hot Danny
luck.
With all the tattoos
all right.
from Yonkers, New York, the Dunwoody section, right?
Yes.
Right, with Boomer Esiason, your time starts right now.
How many regular season wins did A.J. Burnett have this season?
10.
Yes. What number does Mariano Rivera wear?
42.
Who led the Yankees in hits during the regular season?
Cano?
Yes. Okay. Who was the winning pitcher in last night's game for the Rangers? All right, who is the scheduled starter for the Yankees this afternoon in Game 5?
CeCe.
Right. Who led the Yankees in triples during the regular season?
Gardner?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, how many World Series rings has Alex Rodriguez won in his career?
Rings?
Yes.
One.
What former Yankee had his number 3 jersey retired by the team? The house that he built.
Ruth.
Yes. Which former Yankee was nicknamed the Iron Horse?
Lou Gehrig?
Yes. Who was the Yankee team captain prior to Derek Jeter?
Munson?
No, not Munson.
All
very
right,
good
not
guess.
Bad. You got 8 out of 10. She passed the number 4. What was number 4?
Number 4 was, who was the winning pitcher in last night's game for the Rangers? That's Derek Holland.
I was not paying attention.
You were not paying attention to that one. And the last team captain prior to Derek Jeter was Don Mattingly.
Oh.
All right. So listen, it's up to me and Jeff right now. Jeff, you got to get 9 or more to win, okay, buddy boy?
Good job, Danny.
Thanks.
Nah, but you're a Yankee fan. You'll do it, all right?
All right.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock for you. Starts right now. What number did Reggie Jackson wear for the Yankees?
Hello?
Oh, come on, dude. What number did Reggie Jackson wear?
Pass.
Pass?
Yeah, keep going.
What state is Joe Girardi from?
Chicago?
Well, that's not a city.
Illinois.
Which Yankee pitcher had the most complete game wins this year with two?
CeCe.
Name one team A.J. Burnett played for before the Yankees.
Marlins.
What number is Mariano Rivera on the all-time saves list?
One.
Two. What position did A-Rod play before third base?
Shortstop.
In what inning did the Yankees score five runs in game one against the Rangers?
The eighth.
Who led the Yankees in home runs this year?
Teixeira.
Yankee Stadium is located on the court. Wow. How do you not know what number Reggie Jackson wore?
I drew a blank, man. I didn't hear it first, and then I just could not think of it.
He panicked.
You panicked, Jeff. You embarrassed yourself.
You embarrassed.
Well, what number was he? 34?
Yeah, 34. That's right.
Yeah, 34.
That's right. You're right.
Most really famous number 34
that's
ever.
Right. That's right. On the Reggie bar back in the late 70s, it had the number 34 on it. You douche. All right,
what
Jeff.
What number was he? I still don't even remember.
You still don't remember Reggie Jackson's number?
You want to tell him, Danny?
Danny doesn't know either. That's the funny thing about it.
My time.
Oh,
Come on, Danny, you guys suck.
We do.
No offense, sir. How do you not know Reggie Jackson's number? I should definitely
forget
about Danny. She's a 23-year-old kid who's more concerned with tattoos on her ass than a Yankee game. You, though, are a Yankee fan. You're
44?
An embarrassment.
Yes.
44?
Yeah, Danny got it.
I was 42, but that's Mo.
Danny got it. That's right. 44, you douche.
I said 30.
Nah, I know what you said.
Oh, I didn't say what was Bo Jackson's number. Hey, what number did Charles Barkley wear? No.
What number did Walter Payton wear?
Did Charles Oakley wear 44? No. Reggie Jackson did, you nincompoop. I always get the losers. I don't understand. Well, congratulations,
Danny. Good job, man.
Thank you.
You have just won a Boomer Esiason Fathead, unless you want a New York Jet Fathead.
You get the New York Jet Fathead. You're not or Yankees. Are you a Jet Fathead?
Or Yankee Fathead?
We have a Yankee one as well.
Yankee Fathead.
You want a Yankee Fathead?
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, are you a big fan of mine?
Big fan. That's what I'm talking about. I love the Baldies.
Your husband's not jealous about that. Your husband seems like a nice guy. I don't have to hurt him.
Your husband's a good-looking man.
Your husband's a really good-looking guy.
Look at that.
I'm trying to figure out who he
looks like. Somebody can't figure out who it is.
Good meeting you, Danny. Eric
Very
Estrada.
Nice meeting you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. He's Ponchirello from Chips.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
There's a story out there yesterday, Boomer, involving Jeff Fisher and Jack Del Rio and the end of that Monday night Tennessee-Jacksonville game, right?
Uh-huh.
And the game's out of hand. I think it was 23-3 at the point. You know, Tennessee's got the game. 2-minute warning's already gone through. And they're basically just going to kneel on the ball and play out the clock and go home with a nice 20-point win, right?
That's right.
So Jeff Fisher acknowledges, I think right after the game or maybe, you know, when he talked to the local media down there in Tennessee, there was a question of, you know, Del Rio was calling timeouts. Why would Jeff Fisher call a timeout?
Why would Del Rio be calling timeouts?
And why would Del Rio be calling timeouts? Right. Game's over at that point, right?
That's right.
And the story that came out of that is they are claiming that ESPN, who, by the way, just to be fair about it, has denied any of this ever happening, went to the coaches on the sideline and said, we're short two television timeouts. We haven't played all the commercials we were supposed to play.
Can you
do us a favor and call a timeout?
Well, I think what happens
now, hold on, let me finish the story.
Okay.
So these extra timeouts that aren't needed are called. So what does Jeff Fisher do? He calls a running play. That running play is a Chris Johnson, who, by the way, shouldn't be in the ball game.
Shouldn't even be in the ball game at that point.
Chris Johnson scores like a 30-yard touchdown, meaningless touchdown, all allegedly to satisfy ESPN's desire to get two more commercial breaks into the broadcast. If that's factual, that's how egregious that is.
It is pretty egregious, but I also think what ends up happening here in the NFL will probably – the NFL needs to come out and clear this up because I do think that the referees, in this case, are in touch with the TV people, and everybody knows how many timeouts there should be, when the timeout should be, because they listen. You got to pay for these rights somehow, and the way you pay for those rights is by going to commercials for radio and TV. And I know, listen, I'm in the business, so I know it, and it pays my salary in a lot of ways, so I get all that stuff. But to talk about it openly like this puts a real stain on it.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the television, whether it be CBS, Fox, NBC, or ESPN, do have some control over it to the point where they do want to get the timeouts. And, you know, in college basketball, they have TV timeouts. In college football, they have TV timeouts.
Right, but to say to a team, we need you to call a timeout so that we can fulfill our obligation to the advertisers, I mean,
but I don't think it's
the outcome of a game.
I don't think it's ESPN that's technically doing that. It's ESPN telling the referee, and then the referee might be saying it.
Same difference, right?
Right. So, but it's the business of the game.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, you can't, again, maybe the all networks do it. I don't want to pick on just ESPN, but that's brutal.
Unlike baseball, where you know you're going to have a change of, you know, fielders to batters, and you have the locked in, you know,
sure,
commercial time. In football, you know, if a team has the ball for like 12 minutes,
right,
you know, there's no time for a commercial there. So they always get backed up that way.
I don't know why Chris Johnson's even in the game. So you can make that point. But a lot of things change on that. Johnson scores the touchdown, right? You have a lot of people vested. I know most people don't care, but fantasy football, major, major difference, right?
Especially those people who play fantasy football
for cash, right? Yeah. What if you have a guy gets hurt on that play, right?
What is the over and under in that game?
I don't know what it was. I got to check if that changed the over under, because that was a low scoring game. It may have had an impact on it. Right, so you're talking about gambling impact as well. And the fact that whether it's ESPN or CBS or Fox or whomever, all right?
It's the business of football. It's the business of the sport, though.
If a TV network is given access to the coach on the sideline through any entity, but in this case maybe a referee.
The referee is in touch
that
with.
Is, you can't have that.
But just know this, the referee is in touch with what they call the green hat.
Okay.
And he's a guy that's on the field that tells the referee, okay, we're coming out of commercial. He'll roll his finger
I've seen it. We all see it with the big glove on, right?
Sleeve. He'll have his orange sleeve and he'll put it across his chest like this means that we're in commercial now. Okay. Do not start the game, that kind of thing.
Right.
That person could have been told by people in the in the truck outside,
right,
hey, we still have two commercial units we got to get to. Somehow we got to stop this game.
Well, I got to tell you, it ain't right. And the NFL's aware of it. It's a big story in NFL circles right now. But, I mean, the fact that a TV network can have a coach in the middle of a game call a timeout to satisfy the network?
Well,
that ain't right, brother. Well, listen, I don't care who does it.
Timeout. When the network is spending $1.1 billion on the rights for
you're impacting the outcome of the sport. You can't have that.
I know that.
You're supposed
to be
a bystander to the sport.
Well, come on. You know the reality here.
And, you
know,
I never heard of that before.
And in college basketball, they literally have what they call a TV timeout.
Right, but it's built in. You know, coming up as soon as you get under 16 minutes,
right,
next whistle, going to be a television timeout.
Right.
And coaches plan for that. But that's set in stone. You know when that's going to happen, right?
Right.
To go to Jeff Fisher or Jack DeRio and go, hey, guys, I know the game's over. We need a couple timeouts here. That's brutal.
I think what happened is that they went to Jeff Fisher and said, why do you think Jack Del Rio was taking timeouts? Do you think that was smart for him to take timeouts? And then why did you react in a way that, you know, you were trying to still score?
Right.
And Jeff Fisher said, well, look, I would have been more than happy to take a knee, but the fact is that they were asking us to take timeouts because of TV.
Yeah.
So, all right, who is asking you to take timeouts?
Now, ESPN denies it, so I want to be fair about it. They said we didn't directly or indirectly, but the head coach said, yeah, you did.
But the referees know how many timeouts there are left because there are people on the sidelines that are in direct communications with the referees.
Well, anyway, if it's true, it's a bad job.
I believe it. In some aspect, it is true.
Let's say I got $1,000 on a fantasy game, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going against Chris Johnson, and I got the game won. Now, again, he shouldn't be in the game. Separate issue. And next thing you know, there's three meaningless timeouts, and the result of that is a Chris Johnson touchdown. I lose $1,000. I mean, I guarantee you that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed that happened somewhere in the nation.
It might have.
No doubt about it.
But I'm just telling you, I think it's you got to realize, and it's the business of sport. I mean, like when you pick up these newspapers, right?
Right.
How many advertisements are in the newspaper?
Well, that's how they make their money.
That's how they make their money, that and subscriptions.
Right.
But of course, it's going to be, you know, and you got to recognize that, you know, in order to keep this newspaper afloat, they got to sell ads. in order for us to stay afloat on television, on radio, what do we got to do? We got to sell ads.
I'm aware of that.
It's either that or we go over to somewhere else and you have to buy our show.
It's still not right.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I understand where you're coming from, but it shouldn't impact a coach calling a timeout.
Yeah, but I don't know why any of it would surprise you.
I've never heard that in my life, that happens. So I'm sure it wasn't the first time.
Because no coach has ever spoken about it.
I guess. Right. To be fair, and that's why I'm not just dumping on ESPN here, I'm sure that is not the first time that's happened.
There have been times where I've done games and I've scratched my head saying, I don't know why these guys are calling timeout.
Now you know why.
Now you know why.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Boy. John Smoltz joins us. Hang tight there, Jerry Rello. Johnny Boomer and Carton, what's cooking, baby?
Well, what's cooking is a reversal of fortunes for what a team has normally done to other teams, and that's the Yankees.
Why? Let's get into it. Now, Boomer and I were at the game. I'm sure you saw me behind home plate with my mask on and doing all my gyrations there. What did you say, because I did not have the benefit of hearing you, about the decision by Joe Girardi to walk Murphy and allow Burnett, who you know is a gas can, to pitch to Molina? Did you favor that at the time or not?
Well, I favored the walk. I thought the reason that they had Java, you know, warming up was you could possibly bring in Java to face Benji Molina.
All right.
What's incredible about the postseason is how you're always an inch, well, we saw an inch away from a home run, an inch away from something, but you're always a second away from a great decision, a great execution, and certainly players can make their managers look great, or they can make them look not so great. And really, the bottom line was a location pitch that has been issues with AJ caught up with them, because otherwise we'd be talking about a gutsy decision that potentially could have worked out, because you were one inning away from getting to Mariano Rivera for a two-inning save.
All right. Just for the sake of history, in baseball circles, isn't it a pretty well-accepted fact, especially for you as a pitcher, that you don't walk the go-ahead run and put him on base?
Well, later in the game, I think, you know, in that situation, you can understand it. I mean, if that's in the seventh or eighth inning, yeah, I understand the point you're making. But I think in this situation, historically, they could have their way with a Benji Molina, where history had shown where, you know, Murphy had some success against A.J. Burnett. You know, the craziness of this game, which is so magnified in the postseason, is people forget about the previous inning, about the Yankees not scoring runs, and that gets forgotten because your guy didn't execute the next inning. To me, that was the game for the Yankees. Now, it won't be talked about as much because the game becomes the three-run homer.
Yeah, there's no question, as we talked to John Smoltz, that it's frustrating, I think, for Yankees fans, Johnny, to watch this team with the salary that they have and just the ineptness of which their hitters are right now, especially with men in scoring position. And I can't believe that I'm sitting here saying that the Yankees look like they're pressing in the batter's box.
Well, there's no doubt that the Rangers don't have the experience in the bullpen. They've given the Yankees every chance to win games every game. I mean, you look at game one, and certainly they imploded, and some could say that the Rangers learned greater from their mistakes than the Yankees' inability to score, which they always seem to do when runners in scoring position. And they've had runners on, although in the first couple games late with two outs, but first and second, nobody out in a situation where you know the Rangers are in the opportunity to blow this game open. It just didn't happen.
You're talking about the Yankee fifth there.
I was going to ask you a question about the bottom of the fifth as we're talking to John Smoltz. And, you know, it's where Derek Jeter doubles to right, and then Granderson gets up there, and it's just safe that everybody's assuming that he's going to bunt, and he does bunt or tries to bunt. And it doesn't seem like Hunter's pitching or the Rangers are pitching to him. Like they're going to give him something to bunt. I'm just wondering, and I was trying to sit there and explain this to Craig, do they care if Granderson gets on to first base there? Like, they know that the base is open. They'd much rather have first and second no out as opposed to a man standing on third and one out.
No, what you got to do, and it's the nervousness of a young pitcher. I mean, you saw it. You've got to take the outs. I mean, in that situation, my biggest thing that people don't understand is limit the game to one run at a time. And now the Rangers ended up doing that. If you got a runner on third with one out, that is way better than a first and second nobody out, because now you're looking at a huge inning that you have to avoid in this playoff. Now, that's all we've seen the last two games from Texas, crooked numbers, and that is hard to overcome. One run, I'll argue, you tell a pitcher, give me one run for the first four innings, I feel like I'm in the game. Give me a four spot in the second inning, I feel like I've just let a great opportunity.
You know, it's kind of interesting because in the bottom of the fifth, one ends up happening. Granderson obviously walks. It's first and second. Teixeira grounds out into a force play at third base. That's where he pulls his hamstring, and then it works out perfectly for the Rangers. And that's where Rodriguez, you know, hits into a double play. So, I'm sitting there wondering, like, could it have been scripted any better for Ron Washington and the Rangers? And that just seems to be the way that it's going in the bulk of these games right now.
Well, it's gone that way after game one, but I guarantee you if you check the heart rate of the manager in all of those situations, he ain't feeling too good.
Right.
Because when you've got A-Rod with first and second, you're worried about damage. And the one thing I can say, I mean, when you talk about pressing, it happens. I mean, A-Rod has been very aggressive with runners on the first couple pitches without letting somebody get into trouble. Now, it can work to his advantage if he were to get some hits that way, but it's hard to explain what goes through a reliever's mind in an opposing park when a great hitter is at the plate with the opportunity to do damage. It's difficult to pitch to that guy, and the only thing I can say is A-Rod hasn't let too many of those counts get deep. He's tried to really rush the pitcher early, and unfortunately has not gotten a lot of hits.
Yeah, because it worked in game one when he got up and he had the big single in that eighth inning comeback. And listen, the Rangers, like, you're right, Johnny. The Rangers gave them so many chances to blow the game open before the Rangers did. And this Yankee team, it reminds a lot of us of the Yankee playoff team against Detroit a few years back and even against Cleveland a few years back, where for whatever reason, men in scoring position, chance to open up a game and give your pitcher a little break, and they ain't doing it.
Right, with the exception of Andy Pettitte. The concern, remember, yep, going into Minnesota was, Yankees got some questions starting-wise. Now, they didn't have any good questions when you talk about CeCe, but there hasn't been a starter that has gone deep and established. You know, they say your starting pitching is your next momentum. They just haven't done it. You know, Andy Pettitte was one pitch away from being perfect, and except for him, no one has really come out and set the tone. The Rangers have. They've scored runs early. And by the Rangers' own faults, meaning their mistakes back to the first series with Tampa Bay, they have learned how to deal with adversity as the series goes on. They only had to win one game at home. They didn't do it. They were forced to a game five, although be it Cliff Lee on the road. They've learned how to win on the road in a short time. They learned how to come back from a five-run implosion. Along the way, they've given the Yankees all these chances, but the growing confidence is evident as each game goes on.
We're talking to John Smoltz, and Johnny will be there with Ron Darling today for this afternoon's game. How about the top of the seventh now? Texas comes to bat. Joe Girardi, you know, finally takes A.J. Burnett out of the game. It's 5-3. Game's still, you know, within reach of the Yankees. David Robertson comes in for the New York Yankees. He goes in there. He strikes out Andrus, and he also gets Michael Young to line out. You got two outs, and now out comes Joe Girardi. He takes Robertson off the field. He brings in Boone Logan. Bang, home run by Josh Hamilton. And then he goes out and gets Chamberlain, and then all hell breaks loose. How about that decision?
Well, that's huge. I mean, Joe Girardi only has one guy to pitch to one guy. That's one left-hander. You look at the Texas Rangers, they got like four left-handers to pitch to one guy. I mean, that's the irony, because Cano is that one guy. And talking to Ron Washington, he added two left-handers for one guy, basically, because that's how good he feels Robinson Cano is. And it's a matchup situation where, you know, when he's warming up, that's the only guy he's going to face, too. You know, the game's gotten pretty specialized, and there's a lot of pressure when you come in to say, I only got one guy to face. You know, in that situation, if he walks him, it's probably better, and that's that hindsight. But the big home run by Hamilton just allowed the Rangers, again, to keep coming up with big extra base hit after big extra base hit. That is huge at this time of the year. I've always said in the postseason, people ask me, what's the difference between a regular season and a postseason? Well, a hit batsman with two outs is a rally. A walk with two outs is a rally. And let me tell you the flip side. Texas gave the Yankees an opportunity to do the same thing. They walked the bases loaded.
Right.
That is so much bigger than giving up three straight hits. I can't even tell you.
John Smoltz, just last couple of things, Johnny, before I get to today's game. Blind eye, naked eye. Did you think for a minute that Berkman's ball grazed the foul pole and right, or no?
I didn't see the grazing part as much as I thought it was foul. And I looked at the umpires, and I could see right away the second the umpire closer to first was going out towards the umpire. You know, I'll never understand. I understand why there's an extra guy there, but you think about it. The umpire at home has the best view. He can see it the longest. I thought they got it right. What I like today in that I didn't like a long time ago, they're encouraged to work together to get it right. Before, you had too many umpires saying, no, it's my call, I ain't asking anybody else.
Right.
And at this point, that's more important.
All right, last thing from last night, and we'll get to Sabathia today. Did you think Swisher got grazed with the bases loaded before he popped up?
Yeah, and he's got to sell it more.
That's what I was saying.
He's falling down, but you got to sell it more. I mean, we saw the famous Tampa Bay, New York situation. We all got a chuckle out of it. It was part of the game. You just got to sell it more. And you know what? Again, just another opportunity to do damage, though. That would have been one run. That would have been nice. But he had a chance to do damage after he didn't get hit and he didn't sell it to hit a double or hit a, you know, get things going again. And unfortunately, he popped up after.
Yeah, that would have been something because you would have had the walks and all of a sudden the hit batter. Then all of a sudden, all hell's breaking loose from
the
Texas Rangers
at the plate.
That's exactly right, and you're trying to create momentum. But, you know, you're saying that he did get grazed as to where, you know, Derek Jeter didn't get hit and he sold it. So maybe Nick Swisher needs to go back and look at that.
Well, again, if you stand up, maybe if he could have stood up and gotten grazed, it would have been a little easier to hop around. He kind of fell down.
Before we let you go, John Smoltz, of course, TBS with Ernie Johnson and our pal Ron Darling. Sabathia today, I think we all believe, not to put words in your mouth, Johnny, that he will have a much better showing today and probably a dominant one with regular rest. You think this series goes back to Texas, or do you think the Yankees, especially with the Teixeira injury, are kind of dead man walking?
Well, one thing I can say, and we've always had this whenever you're facing defending champions, don't give them a reason. If you're the Texas Rangers, don't do anything at the plate. Don't do anything on the field. Don't do anything behind the mic to give this team a reason to want to continue to win. If you're CC Sabathia, I've pitched in a ton of elimination games, you're not losing, period. That's your mindset coming to the game. I'm not losing. I'm putting it on my next guy. And certainly CC's going to pitch a much better game. In theory, that's what you feel. I know his side session, he had a long side session trying to work things out. There's nothing more frustrating at this time of the year trying to find a mechanical glitch or something that you want to improve on quickly. CC's that type of guy. I always felt that he's a guy, give him the ball as many times as you can, and it doesn't matter how many days of rest. He's a guy you want to keep running out there. He's a horse.
So you would have pitched. You would have pitched him yesterday, right?
Well, I thought it was a very gutsy move, and yes, I mean personally, I would have pitched him yesterday and pitched AJ today. The scenario is in a position where to the Yankees that was a huge game. I mean, look, who would ever think? And I said it on the air. Who would ever think that you hope to face Cliff Lee one more time,
because then
that means you're facing him in Game 7. But, you know, even if you look at today, I think A.J. Burnett today, down 3-1, would be in a better situation of the unknown than being down 2-1 when he pitched. I thought it was a decision that makes managers stay up all night, and Joe did it, and he could have got away with it. He was one pitch away from possibly getting away from it.
Johnny, good job. We'll see you at 4 o'clock today on TBS. Thanks for the time, kiddo.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
John Smoltz, nice job.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Boomer.
Moment of the day.
And a classic tune jarred a thought in Craig's head while discussing Beningo's dislike for those two sitting behind the plate at the Yankee game last night.
Bro, 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 hey. Bro.
Under the boardwalk.
One Mississippi. Two.
Under the boardwalk.
We'll be having some fun
under the boardwalk.
I am an idiot.
Under the boardwalk.
We'll be falling in love
under the boardwalk. Boardwalk.
one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi.
I know every word, by the way.
What do you think?
You can almost taste the hot dogs and French fries they sell.
I am an idiot.
Under the boardwalk, where Susan Waldman stays.
Right there, John, right there.
Right here with my baby is where I'll be.
With Martha Stewart.
Moment of the day, guys.
Under the boardwalk.